Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
It has been a massive couple of weeks for everyone, but of course, including the government. Here to talk about everything that's gone on, including whether more should have been done to stop the attacks in Christchurch, it is the Minister responsible for the GCSB and SIS, Andrew Little. Thanks for calling in.
That's all right.
It's been a couple of weeks since I last spoke to you. Obviously, a lot has gone on since the 15th of March. I just wanted to firstly ask, like someone asked the Prime Minister about a week ago, how have you been? Have you been all right?
I've been fine. Like everybody, I think, it's been a shocking event. I think it's shaken us all. It's shaken me. And there have been moments where you just really, I've been left wondering, you know, what sort of country are we where this has been able to happen? There have been moments, I know, when I was at the Wellington Vigil, I found that very moving. Music tends to do that to me, so I thought I was very touched by that. But, in my job as one of the ministers with some responsibilities in the area, you've got to get on and make sure that things happen, decisions get made, and that we discharge our responsibilities as government too. So, it's a mix of emotions.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we talk about security, why did nobody know that these attacks were coming?
Well, the Royal Commission of Inquiry will hopefully answer that question. I think to put some context around that, look, we don't, the way our security and intelligence services operate is they don't have the means to monitor, you know, everything that is going on with every person every day. We don't monitor emails like that and other communications, not monitoring what's going on cell phones and on social media and what have you. So the way we do national security is we assess what potential risks there are. And when it comes to counter-terrorism, obviously, we look at that issue. And then you work out what is it you do, given the risks that you see, that you need to be doing. You're very much reliant on tip-offs and information from the public, and that's what guides what those agencies do. So I think one of the questions that the Royal Commission of Inquiry will look at is, were these signs, signals, indications that something like this was imminent, was being planned, was even possible? And I think we're going to have to leave it to the Inquiry to gauge that.
Is there any indication that we were looking, that we were looking in the right places?
I'm confident that we were. I think in terms of where the effort goes, particularly when it comes to countering violent extremism, in terms of the work, the more intrusive work that the agencies do, before they do their most intrusive work, they have to have a warrant. That warrant has to be justified. And one of the justifications for it is there has to be a demonstrated threat of violence, and that usually follows an actual violent act. So I think that they were across the things that they knew of, that they knew about. Of course, you're casting around looking for other potential threats, but you're always appraising it and assessing it. Is this going to put other people at risk? Knowing that particularly on social media, there's a whole lot of stuff that is said, even though it might be unpleasant. The question always is, does this constitute a threat of violence and harm to others to justify what further action you might need to take?
In 10 years of GCSB and SIS public documents, there hasn't been a single mention of right-wing extremist threats. What do you make of that?
Well, two things. First of all, I know for a fact that and it might have been quite recent, but certainly since the middle of last year, there was an explicit piece of work looking at right-wing extremism. I think the other thing to put into context is that with those reports, particularly with the reports by the Inspector General of Intelligence and Security, who's independent of the agencies and provides probably the single most important piece of oversight of the agencies, and all her reports, where she reports on warrants and intrusive activity, Not in a single case did she say that the warrants and the actions that were happening were unwarranted or unjustified. So I think, you know, the question about were the agencies across all the relevant risks, It's the right question to ask, and that's why the government has set up the Royal Commission of Inquiry to respond to that question.
And in terms of that Royal Commission, do you have any idea what it might reveal?
It will do a proper, you know, microscopic examination of the, you know, the work that the agencies, not just the SIS and the GCSB, but police intelligence, immigration, customs, they've all got intelligence outfits embedded in them. So it was, what were they doing? What did they know? What were they looking for? What were they looking at? Were their actions enough? Were they taking, you know, to the extent that these threats were apparent, were they taking them seriously enough? So that's what we need answers to, and the sooner it can get underway, the better.
Do you think we need an extension of surveillance powers in this country?
It might seem an odd thing to say in light of the monstrous event that happened on the 15th of March, but I don't think so. I think that all the powers that the agencies need are in the legislation that governs them. I don't see a need for more intrusive powers. The question might be, is the threshold justifying the more intrusive powers, is it set too high? But I'm not convinced of that at this point, and I'm eager to see what the Royal Commission might make of that.
If those powers were there enough at the moment, why do you think we weren't looking more at issues like white extremism, white supremacy?
Well, I know that the agencies were, or at least the SAS was, they had started an explicit program of work to do that. I think and they were certainly receiving tip-offs from the public, and it was really about things that were appearing on social media. And so they're constantly assessing it, and it goes assessing that, and that goes back to that question. Is what I'm seeing, in this case mainly things being said on social media, is that indicative of a physical or a threat of physical harm to other members of the community? And that's what they're weighing up. So I think the Royal Commission will look at whether or not the assessment about that was realistic, whether it was thorough enough, and then, you know, that's what we need the Royal Commission to be doing.
So does that mean that, in your opinion, it's more about restructuring or reforming the existing powers rather than just giving more powers?
I think it's about the way you use the powers that you've got, and the intelligence effort. I mean, if you think about what makes up the intelligence effort that we've got, it's not just the statutory powers, but it's the technology, it's the personnel, it's their training, and it's the confidence that the public have in them to be able to disclose things that members of the public are concerned about, knowing that, you know, that it will be followed up. It's all those elements make up effective national security.
Obviously, this was a really horrific attack directly on the Muslim community. Do you think New Zealand is a safe place for people from other countries, other cultures?
Yes, I think we are, and it is not to say that we don't have elements in our community who are antithetical to those who, you know, wish to worship the way they worship or be who they are. We do have those elements. We do have racism, and we do have prejudice. But on average, if you like, or across the board, you can see with New Zealanders' response to what has happened, there's been a huge outpouring of grief and support and love for our Muslim community, as there would be for any other community suffering a similar tragedy. So I think New Zealand has demonstrated to the world that we are a country that is open, where regardless of where you come from and who you are and what form of worship you take, that you can live here safely and comfortably.
Do you think we'll see some positive change from all of this in the long run?
Yeah, I think there's, we've got change to look at in terms of what we do on social media, how we deal with hate speech, and that's the area of work that I've got now, Ministry of Justice officials looking at. And maybe, you know, even people like myself, I think maybe I've been too tolerant of stuff that hasn't been particularly harmful to me, but has been way more harmful to other people. And so I think I look to my own kind of attitudes, if you like, and say, actually, some of the stuff is totally toxic, and in the end, it's totally unnecessary. And so the thresholds about tolerance for free speech, I think, we do have to look closely at that.
And I'm sure a lot of New Zealanders will agree with what you've just said. Finally, putting all this sort of to one side, you must be really proud of how your government and how your Prime Minister has acted in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think that you know, Jacinda has been. She demonstrated what a lot of us who work closely with her already have known. Her deep-seated sense of right and compassion and fairness, and just the amazing ability she has to convey that at a personal level and at a collective level too. She really has represented that collective sense of what New Zealand, I think, would want to see in us and the way we've expressed ourselves and she's expressed herself on the world stage. There's no question she now carries a moral authority on these sorts of issues on the world stage that I think very few other leaders do.
Yeah, I completely agree, and like with the last question, I think so many New Zealanders will absolutely agree with what you've just said. Minister, thank you so much. I'm sure we'll talk again next week.
Cheers. Thank you. Bye.
That was Andrew Little speaking with us. As always, as I said, he will be back, I'm sure, next week, all going well.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire.